Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're excited about the word that God has for us today. We're going to be starting to deal with the other man. We just got back from Hagerstown, Maryland. Amen. And we just want to give a shout out to Pastor Mincy and the Greater Camphor Church, amen, there in Hagerstown. Also to the Jewel family. Amen. It was good to see friends of ours. We consider them family from back at our early days, amen. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the Word. While we were there, we ministered on Sunday morning, and this is the message that the Lord gave to me. We want to grab hold of that and disseminate that Word throughout the body of Christ. So before we go any further, I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcements and then lead us in our prayer. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the time zone. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to let you know quickly for the announcements. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. And as you already know, every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website, people of God. Please take some time to look at our website, learn more about us, amen, learn more about the ministry, as well as the ministries that we cover overseas, amen. We even have a donate button on our website, amen, for those of you who wish to give to this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as if God has touched your heart in any way to give to those ministries that are overseas. If you wish to know more about them individually, each one of those that are on our websites, our sons and daughters, also have Facebook pages where you can actually contact them directly. On our website where that donate button is, we do have a box that is there. If you can let us know how much you wish to give and where you want your donations to go, we will make sure that it gets into the proper hands, amen, and to the proper place it needs to go. Also, amen, just to let you know, you can also like us on our Facebook pages, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. There you could also leave your praise reports, your prayer requests, amen. Even if you would like myself or Apostle to come and minister at any one of your programs, please let us know. Leave your detailed information on our contact page, and we will make sure someone gets back in touch with you within 24 to 48 hours. Those are our announcements, amen, for this day. Now let us look to the Lord for prayer. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we glorify you and we thank you. God, we thank you for safety. We thank you for favor. We thank you for health, strength, life, everlasting. God, we thank you for your just abundant truth. God, we thank you even now as this word, this life-changing word, this anointed word that is about to be delivered by the man of God. Our ears are attentive. Our hearts are open. Our minds are ready to receive. And our spirits and will is ready to move forward to say yes to whatever you're going to speak to us on this day. In the name of Jesus, even now, God, let us find ourselves in this word. Holy Spirit, shine your light of truth upon us today. Let it reveal every place. Amen. Every torn down place, every place that's been hidden, everything that we've been trying to put a smoke screen up before you, reveal it tonight in the name of Jesus. God, help us to repent, get those things right, lay aside the weights that we continuously hold up before you. Let us lay them down, let them lay it at the foot of the cross, that we may go forward and obey your word in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking in your son's name that you will move mightily up on your people. Father, I'm asking that you would remove the scales, remove the crutches, remove the excuses, remove the fear, the doubt, the unbelief, the reasons why we want to stay in the same place. God, pull us up out of the valley of defeat right now in the name of Jesus. Shake us and shift us tonight. Even, Father, if you have to cause us to get disturbed in our spirit because of where we are, let the truth of reality shine forth, the spirit of truth shine forth the reality tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking that those that are not saved, God, that when they hear this word, that it will prick their hearts, that they will call upon your name and say, what must I do to be saved? Father, I'm asking now that even a mantle of prayer, the mantle of prayer and intercession will begin to fall up on your people tonight. Give us a mandate in the spirit, God, to pray, to see after you like never before, to pray your will in the earth to be manifested through your people in the earth. In the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. We glorify you. I thank you. I magnify you. You're worthy of all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Thank you, God.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
Awesome prayer. Awesome prayer. Now, we're looking at the Word of God today and what it is that God is saying to us, His people. Amen. And I'll say this. It is imperative for us to get a hold of real revelation of God. Too many places, too many people are after the hype, the show. They're after everything that will push them forward, and nothing, and I do mean nothing, that will glorify God. They don't want to talk about the soon coming king because they don't want him to come. If Jesus was to come, then it would ruin the long-term plans that they have on the earth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying to do everything they can to be comfortable down here. And I want you to know I'm trying to go home. Amen. When the Lord comes, I'm ready to go. Amen. Mm-hmm. I know it's because I have done everything that he told me to do that I'll be ready to see him. But if you're not living that life, you don't want to see him. Amen. Because you know when he comes, he's going to challenge you and your obedience, but also he's going to identify and point to your disobedience. Amen. Mm-hmm. We have been given an assignment. There's some things that we need to be doing, And we really need to be focused on that. And too often we aren't focused on God's plan and God's will and God's design and assignment for us because we're focused on everything else. Amen? So we have to understand what it is that is going on and how it is going on and be ready to shift our hearts and our minds, get back to the assignment that God has given us, and do the work. Amen. Amen. Do the work. Amen.
Amen.
Do the work. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to, at this time, as we go forward, I just want to say that this past weekend, amen, we had the ability, or should I say we had the opportunity to meet some dear friends of ours. And we all come from Ohio, and we spread out different places doing ministry as the Lord has given us. Found some people that we know from way back when who, it's interesting, we were all brothers and sisters, and now we're apostles, prophets, pastors, and elders. And, you know, when we got together, it's one of those things where you meet people and you leave them, and you become good friends, and then you leave them and go your separate ways. When you come back together, it's just like a couple of weeks, a couple of months or whatever from the last time I saw you. Meanwhile, things are really going on in life, amen. Mm-hmm. Young men and young women who were little kids running around the church are now grown and have a bachelor's and master's, working on doctorates. I mean, mm-hmm. it was eye opening, amen. When they saw me last, I had my son, me and my wife who were married. I think Pastor Jerry said to my wife, she said, "How long y'all been married?" And my wife said, "We've been 19 going on 20 years in October." She said, "Woo, I thought y'all was only married like 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. Where did 10 years go?" Well, listen, when you get involved with what God is telling you to do, time goes fast, amen. But none of us were looking like 10 years older. We were looking just maybe 10 years younger. But we haven't seen each other for a while. Amen. But it was good. Shout out to Pastor Mincy and to the Greater Camford Church. Pastor Joe brought us in. He's there at the church with Pastor Mincy. Mm-hmm. And his wife, a dear friend of ours, Jadora.
Elder
Jadora, yes. Mm-hmm. It's actually the minister of music. And I tell you, we walked in the door and I saw her and she saw me and she was in the middle of choir rehearsal trying to get some stuff together. And we just had to have a parenthetical pause. we just had to break for the reason of not seeing each other. When I was younger, back in my teen years, going into my early 20s, there was about 3-4 of us that really hung together. And we went to the same church, and we was at everything we did together. Jadora was one of them. My best friend was a young man named Jesse, her brother. And it was me and a couple of others. So for us to get back together and see each other and see that everyone's doing what God called them to do and moving forward in the things of God was very, very refreshing. We didn't come together and hear horror reports of how we're trying to get it together. And I know God called me, but I just couldn't get my head wrapped around. No, we came together and they're pursuing and in ministerial school doing greater things and taking classes and doing the work. And Pastor Jerry and Prophet Brown, Kevin, Prophet Kevin, amen, they're in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And then there's Tana. Tana was a little girl, and Tana got up, her husband TJ, and I just want to give a shout out to them, amen, in Columbus. They'll be doing She'll be doing her first live broadcast or her first live recording, amen, called Jow or Journey of Worship, amen. And look her up, Tana Mathis Glover, amen. She opened up her mouth and began to sing and didn't move. Yes. I mean, she wasn't walking around trying to pull people
like
in. She walked in just like her mother, Pastor Jerry. It stood flat-footed and began to sing, and that atmosphere, my God, it began to swirl in there. And if you were attached at all, amen, to the body of Christ, you felt instantly the saturation of the Spirit of God. And she sang, and it was, after she got done, there was nothing else that we needed to do. You know, we came in to appreciate Elder Jador, amen, for her as an appreciation for a minister of music. And when we did that, guess what? There was no need for it. Because we appreciated her, but we loved on God. Mm-hmm. And she was blessed by that. Amen. So it was a wonderful time, and just to know that, as I said, those who were children and the kids running around, our children, amen, are now grown, and some of them have children, and Tana was, one of the children that is now grown, and she's going on in ministry, and I wish I could get to Columbus to be at that recording. Because I could just lay out in the floor, kick my shoes off, and just lay there. Amen. And just let the power of God just overflow and saturate me. I mean, I'm just looking forward to the finished results after it's done. Amen. But then on Sunday morning, Pastor Mincy, finding out that we were going to be there overnight, asked me to bring the word. And as I went back to the hotel, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as we were traveling. And this is the word that he gave to me. And I'm going to share it with you. Amen. I'm going to try to get everything in tonight. But if not, we'll pick it up on Saturday. I encourage you to come back on Saturday at 10:30. Amen. For the conclusion of the matter. Amen. We'll make sure it is done by then. Amen. Now, we're going into 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read the first 9 verses, amen. And from there, we'll take our text, amen. And it starts at reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have heard from me today, you will find 2 men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go up forward from there to the Terebinth tree of Tabor. There are 3 men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying 3 young goats, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you come to the Hilah where Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instruments, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. The
whole point of this passage here and the title of this series here is called The Other Man. But greater than that, it is I am the other man. Amen. I am the other man. And I thank God because the way that he deals with me with his word is as I am looking at and reading and dealing with the word, just in my devotions and in preparing for ministry, the Holy Spirit will speak to me and bring me into some of the different places where the word is spoken, but it's spoken in plain, but there's hidden things that are there. As I began to look at it, he began to speak to me concerning what is really going on and what we need to look at here. We've been preaching and talking about process and how God does what he does. And we have to understand that God doesn't make mistakes. There are things that happen in your life that you feel that didn't occur at the most opportune time. You feel that you have been taken advantage of or that you've been overlooked or that things have happened to you in with the meaning or the intent of tearing you down or destroying you. But I want you to know that God he never meant to destroy you. The process that you go through in your making is always to make you, not to destroy you. And you have to understand that what he's making of you is his plan and his will. Amen. Now, why is that important? Because there are things that God wants to do through us and to us that we refuse to allow him to do for fear that it will cause us to lose our identity. And I'm trying to be real and trying to be me. And I just, you know, this is who I am. And God is trying to say, I know that's who you are, and I know that's who you really are trying to be. But let me tell you who I called you to be. Because the reality is not in what you feel. The reality is in what he designed. Amen? And you have to understand that God designed you or you're created with a purpose. There is a purpose to your design. Amen? And that means that you can't fulfill it until you go back to the designer to find out how you are to be utilized in the plan. Amen? See, the thing is that when I was younger, I found out that you could use a pipe wrench as a hammer if you didn't have a hammer because, you know, there was parts on there where you could actually use it to beat on something. Amen. But the original intent for that pipe wrench was so that it could reach around and grab a pipe and hold it in place or turn it, amen, while another wrench was holding the other part of it so it could be tightened or loosened. That's the original design of that wrench. Isn't it interesting that we can see the same tool and utilize it in two different ways? And both ways that we utilize it may work, amen. But in order for us to fully get the full benefits of whatever it is, we have to go back to the designer and ask them, what is it that you created? Why did you create it? Amen? And when we go back and we find out what he created and why he created it, then we can utilize it for its purpose. Amen? So now that means that there's people who have been gifted in certain areas of life. And if you don't understand why you have been given a gift or a grace upon your life, then you'll utilize it in different or in the wrong way. Amen. Mm-hmm. And even though it may work for you, amen, you can never come to your full potential until you align the gift with the giver. Amen. Mm-hmm. The one who gave the gift to you, the one who designed you. Amen. So it is important for you to understand that everything that God is doing for you, everything that God is doing to you, everything God is doing through you is not necessarily for you, but it is about you. What I mean by that is that it's about you because as you go through the process of change, You'll be conformed to the image of his dear son, Jesus. Amen. And as you're conformed to that image, then you'll find yourself getting into a place where you desire to please the Father as Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did was to bring glory to the Father. Amen. And we'll get past trying to bring glory to ourselves and get some glory for ourselves to going to live a life and do the work that brings glory to the Father. That is your true intent and purpose in life. Amen. Mm-hmm. With that, God uses you to go into places where the enemy has set up strongholds and tear them out, down. Amen. Pull them down, amen. Go into places where people are bound, amen, where they're going through and they're dealing with hardships in life, and you will bring enlightenment, you'll bring wholeness, but you'll also bring healing, amen. So instead of you going there and getting the glory, you'll go to give the glory to God. You'll go get the glory to give to God. You'll go make sure God gets the glory.
Yes,
you understand
yes,
what
yes.
I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All of these things are important. And now we can really begin to look at our text here, because as we begin to look at this text, we'll notice that in the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel, Samuel is then at this point taking a flask of oil and pouring it on the head of Saul.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Now, I don't want you to jump to the end where Saul, and that's the problem with some of us, is that we remember the bad that somebody do, but we don't want to think about the good. And I'm showing you this at the very beginning, because just like Saul had the opportunity, so do you have the opportunity to do it right. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We see that Saul started right, but then started going wrong real quick. Amen? So as he goes on and he begins to deal with himself and certain things, we know what happens at the end. But let's start at the beginning, amen, so we can get the full understanding, amen, of what's actually going on here, amen. And the thing is that as we go into this, we'll begin to notice that the prior chapter, amen, 1 Samuel 9, we'll see that Kish, Saul's father, has donkeys that have come up missing. They have strayed off, amen. And looking for them, can't find them, sends out his son Saul to go find them with a servant. Saul goes out looking for these donkeys and can't find them. And as he's going, he said, you know, we can't find them. We need to return back to return back home before dad starts worrying about us instead of worrying about the donkeys.
Right.
And his servant said, before we go, let's check if there's a seer that's here, amen, in this place, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So as they prepare to go see the seer, they said, well, we can't go up there unless we have something to give to him. Amen.
All right.
So let's go read this so we can get it full, because I want to bring some clarity here. Amen. Go to the 1 Samuel 9 and 6. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver that I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, ninth verse, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer. He who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saul said to the servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. Okay, now, as they're going there, they have already devised in their heart that they're going to take and go see him. They have an offering in their hand. Now we can go see them. We can go see him. Okay? Now, but there is something that we need to understand here. Amen? Go down to the 15th verse. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
The day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man. Amen. So now, everything that Saul is going through at point has been sent by God to position him in a place where he can receive a word concerning his destiny.
All right.
Understand this? So all the donkeys being missing, the servant that was by his side giving him the word, you know, that why not go see the man of God who is in this town and everything else. The hardship that came along that led him to the place where the seer was all orchestrated by God. Why am I saying this? Why am I making this point? It's because there are things in your life that are happening that has been set up by God to bring you to the place where God can speak to you.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't have been there no other way.
That's the truth now.
You understand? There's no reason for Saul to go to the town where Samuel was except there was a need. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So here you are. You're going through left and right, and you're looking for every way that you can get that need satisfied and things done concerning yourself. And God said, listen, I put you into this situation so that I can get the glory out of you. Amen. Because this situation is not dire, but it will be a positioning for you. Amen. Here he is now. He's at the town. He's speaking to the man of God. Amen. But before he can bring an offering or anything else, and this is where the teaching comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Too many have been teaching that in order for you to get a word from God, you have to bring a gift. Amen. And when you bring the gift, it opens up my eyes so that I can see. Let me just call it what it is. It's witchcraft and divination. Amen. Because when there is a word from God for you, God has already designed how it should be given to you. Amen. And when God gives it to you or gives it to the man or the woman of God, our assignment is to release the word, regardless if you brought us something or not. If not, if you need to bring something to me in order for you to get a word from me, amen, then that means that every time that Jesus was about to do something, then he would have demonstrated the same character or the same procedure. But we see that Jesus looked at them all, had compassion on them, and healed them all. You do not hear that as they gave their offering, Jesus healed them.
Mm-hmm.
You do not see that as they brought a gift to him, Jesus began to give them word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy concerning their lives. See,
right.
We got to get out of this this habit and this practice of trying to make the word of God a means to wealth by preying upon people who don't know the word of God.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. I know this part is not popular because we've been taught, well, you know, when you bring the gift, you honor the man, the woman of God. No. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, this is going to take us till Saturday because I got to clear this up in here because this has been a source of error in the body of Christ. Amen. And I am an apostle of the Most High God. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we have to bring order and correct this right here. Amen. Notice here, I'm going to have fun right here. Notice here, thank you, Holy Spirit, that Saul or Samuel says, is speaking, or that the word testifies here in the 15th verse. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. You see that? For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come up to me. So when Samuel saw, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of who I spoke to you, the one who shall reign over my people. huh? Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? Now, the thing here is Saul didn't know who Samuel was upon meeting him, but Samuel knew who Saul was. You see that? God had already given him the word, the purpose of his visit. How he came to him was not important as the fact that God told him what to do when he got there. Okay, so now your purpose in coming to God and your purpose in coming to the household of faith and to the man, the woman of God, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, whoever God has set over you, your spiritual father, your spiritual mother, those people in your life, your intent in going to them is not as important as the intent that God had leading you to them. Notice he came seeking one thing. But what God told Samuel was greater than anything that he was coming with. You see that? Okay, let's keep on reading. Okay, 19 first, because I want to hit one point really good. We're going to get to it in a minute. Samuel, 19 first, answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place. For you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and tell you all that is in your heart. Okay? But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. You see that? And on whom is all the desire, Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? So now, in other words, he came thinking that his gift, we don't see him present this gift. Do you see it there?
Mm-mm.
It's not there. He didn't present the gift.
He still delivered the message.
He came looking. When he found out who he was given instruction upon meeting him. You see that? He said, so when he said, he came looking for the seer, okay, please tell me where is the seer's house. Samuel said to Saul, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. In other words, upon meeting him, he gave him instructions straight on. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting that before you can come with your plan of how you're going to present your matter to the man, the woman of God, God has already spoke to them, and when you get there, they give you instruction. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And they start you on the path to your destiny, because going up to the high place means we're going to worship. Going up to the high place says that you have been chosen as a special person. You came looking for your donkeys because you were submissive to your father, huh, with the servant to go out and look for your father's donkeys. But guess what? God has a greater plan. And now that you have been obedient, you are here now positioned. Amen. God can get the glory out of you. You never know what your obedience is opening up for you. The door that obedience opens up for you. Amen. You see this? What would have happened if Saul would have said to the servant, you ain't nothing but a servant. How can you tell me? My father owns you. You need to listen to Rod. You see that? That wasn't it. The servant gave him, you know, hey, I got this much silver. Let's go see him. That's good. They went, and when he got there, God had already spoke to him. They know where they're going now. Amen? And as they go, he's told that you're going up to the high place with me. Let's keep on reading. Because like I said, he didn't present him with the fourth shekel of silver. You see that?
I don't see it at all.
It's not there. Because it didn't happen. Because the purpose of him going was not to get from him, but to give to him. You see that? And Saul answered, 21st verse, and said, am I not a Benjamite, the smallest tribe of Israel, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this? And I want to stop here parenthetically, as our friend says. I want to stop here and pause parenthetically and say to you that God has higher regards for you than you have for yourself at times. There are things that you don't believe that God would do for you through you because in your eyes, you are the smallest, the least, and don't qualify. But I want you to know that in God's plan, he's not looking for the great, mighty, and chest stuck out. He's not looking for the lofty. He's looking for the humble and the low. Amen. Because when he elevates you, then you're not going to be able to say it's from your ability that the glory came. It's going to be straight from God. Amen. He's going to get all the glory out of this. So that's why he chose those who had not to have. Those who could not do to do. Those who didn't possess to possess. You see what's going on? Because if you already know that you can't do it and then it happens, then there's no other reason or explanation that you can give other than God did it. Amen. I wish I was in a house full of people right now that I could just say, look at your neighbor and just tell them God did it. Because this is one of those things and one of those times where that testimony needs to ring out supreme. Amen. God did it. It didn't come from nobody else. You're not slick. You're not wonderful enough to call God to do it.
Hallelujah.
It's not because you have went to school and you got straight A's and you was on this squad and on that and you was part of the in team and the in group. Everybody wanted to be like you, that you made it to this. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, if it hadn't been for his mercy, his hand upon your life, you wouldn't have made it. But God took you in your broke down state and brought you to a place where you are right now. And now when you're dealing with it and you look back over your life, you have to realize and testify to everybody that it's no goodness of your own. If it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't be here. Simply put, this ain't me. God did it.
God did it.
So then he looks at this thing and he begins to tell him that I'm nobody. Why are you speaking to me like this? I don't even understand these lofty words you're using for me. And as we go down, you'll see that it's important for him now to have this paradigm shift in his thinking, because right now he's been told about greatness in his life. Yes, God is talking to you about the greatness in your life. Huh? And you can't believe it. He couldn't believe it. So he's trying to find a way to turn it and make it somebody else. And Samuel has to remind him or tell him, no, I mean you. I mean you. I know it seems like it's a bit much. I know it seems like it's well beyond you and this great thing to obtain, but you can never do it. But guess what? It's for you to obtain and you shall do it. Amen. 22nd verse. Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and set them in the place of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who is set in the place of honor? Huh? Samuel took Saul and
his servant
and brought them into the hall and set them in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So now, let's recap now. Okay. So the cook took up the thigh with this upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. You see that? So now, remember, And we have to really get into the Levitical law to understand the importance of this thigh with its upper part, amen, that was set aside, amen. It's important for you to recognize and realize that what is happening now is God is setting Saul apart, and he is being sanctified.
Yep.
You understand? He's being prepared for what God is about to do in his life. Now, why did I pause here? I pause here because it's important for you to recognize that it wasn't just Saul who went up to the place of honor. And his servant. I said a while back, and I'm going to continue to say it, God will bring it to pass. We'll be however big as a ministry that God wants us to grow and develop his children. And we can be thousands and tens of thousands or whatever. It won't change the message or change us. Amen. Because we already understand the focus is not us. So then God can bless us in any way that he wants, and it's not going to shift or change us. Amen. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit has tested us to see if we really mean what we say. And we have been successful in passing the test. Amen. Now, the thing that I want you to see here mm-hmm. is that we have been servants for a while. We've served many ministries, amen, and served in many capacities in different ministries as the Lord brought us to the place where we are today, amen. Mm-hmm. Even today, when I see a need within a ministry, my heart goes out towards the children of God, the people of God, amen, and not so much that they have to be my sheep as it is that we have to bring order to the house of God, amen, and those who are pliable to allowing us to come in and do what God will call us to do, they benefit from it and they see growth, amen, in their ministries because we come in to help and do what needs to be done. And understand, I'm not saying come in and take over and run. I said come in to assist. Notice here that Saul
mm-hmm.
was the focal point of what was going on.
Yep, that's what they were waiting for.
But the servant who was a support to Saul was also brought into the hall and set in the place of honor along with him. In other words, when God elevates you, he elevates your support system. I won't be the Bentley driving pastor, Apostle Bentley driver, with Pinto driving members. Brother and sister Pinto. Amen. As we go up, then those who are with us go up. Amen? That's the plan that God has for us. That as we grow, others grow with us. Amen? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not big I, little you. It's let us go together. Isn't it interesting that Jesus sat with his disciples and he began to pour in them. And as they grew, you know, he didn't get greater and they became lesser. He strove to pour himself into them, understanding that the assignment was to make them just like him so that he could go on to finish his task. Amen. Isn't it interesting that every apostle that we look at and read about all had to go through their own crucifixion and hardships and everything else? Amen. See, you have to understand this right here is always going to be greater than you. But it's not just you. It's who was before you. And greater than that, with the knowledge and the understanding that you have now, is who's after you. You see that? This is so important because then we don't get caught up on us. When you recognize it's about them.
Yeah.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I can be a servant in the house of God, knowing that as God elevates the leadership, God is going to elevate me. And the leader isn't going up with all of my work without me getting the reward of being the servant that the leader depended on. Remember, Saul didn't have a fourth of a shekel. They had ate up all the bread. There was nothing. You see that? And if it hadn't been for the servant one fourth a shekel of silver, they wouldn't even have thought that they could approach Samuel. Now, with that said, when you go to the man, the woman of God, it is good to honor the gift that is there. Amen.
Amen.
But if you think that going to the man, the woman of God with your gift is going to get the word for you, keep your gift. Samuel already had the assignment the day before Saul ever showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And look what he did with the preparations for Saul's arrival. Huh? He went to the 23rd verse, and Samuel said to the cook, bring a portion which I gave you. Oh, wait a minute. I thought my job as laity was to bring the gift to the man and woman of God so that they could bless me. Well, isn't this the prophet, the seer, who set aside for Saul? You see that? So you've been running from revival and from prophetic atmosphere or prophetic conference to prophetic conference, trying to hear prophet here, prophet there, taking your money, your gifts, and your all your other stuff, trying to get a special word from God, hoping that that was going to allow them to see you in such a light that they prophesied cars, houses, family saved, and everything else. And let me just say this to you. If God meant for you to have that stuff, your gift is not going to open it up for you to get it. Amen. What's going to happen is as you follow the will of God, then you'll find out that in the will of God is that car, that house, and everything else. Because God wants you to continue on the path of obedience. Amen. Well, what we try to do is we try to go around and you still get it. And that's when people can come in and trick you out of your finances and your resources. Amen. Because while you're running around trying to pay for it, God has already given it.
Yes, sir.
Notice that what Samuel is giving to Saul is greater than what Saul could afford to come and get.
Mm-hmm. That's usually how God works, isn't it?
You bought God a little and God gave you a lot. You thought that little bit that you brought him was, you know, guess what? God had a lot more for you. Amen. Now, this is not to say, because I know that there's some people right now who said, well, you know, we have always done that in our ministry. And we just taught that if we honor the gift of God, then, you know, he's going to bless us and everything. Yes, yes, you're right. You're right. God is going to bless you. I'm talking about those charlatans who haven't really given over to God. Their lives, they're not dedicated. What they've learned to do is come in and give you a couple of cliches, two scriptures that they don't exegete, and then they run out and say, the Lord told me to prophesy. I feel the spirit of prophecy, and they begin to speak lofty things. The Bible talks about those who are soothsayers who speak lofty things, amen, have not consulted from God. He said, don't be afraid of them. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to stone them, amen. We're supposed to put them to death. So this right here is the means that they use in order to fleece the flock. Amen. And now when a true man or a true woman of God comes along, why are you saying this, apostle? Why are you saying this? You're messing up some stuff. It took us a while to get people where they can understand. I'm saying this because you make it harder for true men and women of God to come through and prophesy and do and say what God has said, because people before you got there had came through of lies and forms and trying to get the people to do it a certain way. And as they were trying to be obedient in their innocence, you took advantage of them.
Yes, sir.
So now when a real man or woman of God comes along, they can't even receive a word. You see that? They can't receive a prophecy. Oh, they prophesied to me, and I didn't give them anything. Oh, God is going to honor this. He's not going to honor it. Oh, stop. Before Saul got there, the day before, God spoke into Samuel's ear. Before I get to you, God has already spoke to me concerning you. You see that? And my job is to set aside for you the portion that God has already set aside for you. Give to you what God has already set aside for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. You see that? And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. In other words, people have been going forward and getting whatever they wanted to get. They've been trying to do whatever they're trying to do. They want everybody to see how great, grand, and wonderful they are. And God said, look, this isn't about how great, grand, or wonderful you are. It's not even about you in any shape, form, or fashion. Don't fool yourself, my brother, sister. This ain't really about you. There's a part that has been kept back. And it's been kept back for those that God has called, for those who are part of the design of what God called. Amen. So when you understand that what's happening or what's going to happen with you is part of God's design plan for you, then who cares what they have? As long as I have Jesus, I have enough. Amen.
Amen.
So the cook took it up, brought it out. It said, as Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time, it has been kept for you. Since I said, I invited the people, so Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they come down from the high place to the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. Saul arose, and both of them went outside. And then as they were going down, he and Samuel, and as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. Now, the last few minutes to deal with this. Tell the servant to go ahead of us. But you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God. The servant served his part, did what they were supposed to do. Now they've been elevated and set in a position of honor. They have been given the privilege of being in the presence of the Lord and celebrated along with Saul here. But now, after that part is done, then the Lord will allow you your release. You see that? Isn't it interesting that we think we know when we need to go before God tells us what we need to do before God releases us? And some of you have moved before God spoke to you and walked right out of your blessing. Lord, help us today. Let me end right here and say, stay in your place until God releases you. Amen? You're not going to miss anything, and nothing can happen outside of God's plan and will for your life. It's going to happen like he said it. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this, the other man, the first part of this, Lord, even as we went in to set foundation. Holy Spirit, I understand following your voice, following your leading. And you said, make sure that we clarify this part here, because too many people are running, trying to get a word, a prophecy, and trying to sow big seed in order to get big blessing. But what you have for us is already set. Amen. You have already spoke to those who are to deliver the word, those true men and women of God who will deliver it and walk according to this. Lord, you've already given us what you want. And we say yes, and we will do the assignment. Now, Lord, even now, as we go forward, help us to realize that you spoke greatness to us, not what we understand, but what you have planned for us. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to the process, yes to confirmation, according to your will, your plan, transformation. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, if there's anyone who's not saved, I pray right now, Lord, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, that they may be mature and develop and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. Now, Lord, we speak concerning healing, prosperity, wholeness, health, wellness in the name of Jesus. Let it manifest amongst your children in the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you will become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
A prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.